Matthew chapter 7, verse 1 all the way to verse 6. Matthew chapter 7, verse 1 to verse 6. Do not judge, or you too will be judged. For in the same way you judge others, you will be judged. And with the measure you use, it will be measured to you. While you look at the speck of sawdust in your brother's eye and pay no attention to the plank in your own eye, how can you say to your brother, let me take the speck out of your eye, when all the time there is a plank in your own eye? You hypocrite, first take the plank of your own eye, and then you will see clearly to remove the speck from your brother's eye. Do not give dogs what is sacred. Do not throw your pearls to pigs. If you do, they may trample them under their feet and turn and tear you to pieces. Let's turn to God in prayer. Lord, as we just sang now, the word of Scripture are not idle words. They are our life. They are true, they are powerful, and they can change us. Your word, Lord Jesus, is truth. So I pray this morning that as we look to your word, we may not judge the word, but allow the word to judge us. Allow the word to enlighten us. Allow your word to change us. I pray, Father, that the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts may be pleasing and acceptable in your sight. In Jesus' name. Amen. Kevin was saying earlier that it's a difficult series. It's a difficult series for, I believe, all of us. It's a reflection of who we are. And one thing I love about Jesus Christ is that he said it as it is. And he was honest. And this is why I love to preach book by book or passage by passage, because when you do so, it allows you to preach on passages you would have overlooked and probably not preach on because they're so reflective of who you are and they're so reflective of your personality. But if I had jumped Matthew chapter 7, verse 1 to 6, we'd say, what is Pastor Jerome doing? But because it's there, we have to go through it. And it's good. When we read the Bible, we don't want to select what passage we read. We want to read the whole counsel of God. And some of the counsel of God, some of the passages that we'll read will warm our hearts and make us feel good. Some of the passages that we read will give us confidence. Some of the passages that we read will give us hope. And some of the passages that we read will challenge us. But it's always good. It's always good. The passage that we're going to look at, that we're looking at this morning, is... it must be understood, I want to say that right before we begin, it must be understood in context. We must try to understand what Christ is saying. And we have three sermons where there have been words that are used that without putting them in their proper context may be abused. For example, the word temptation and testing are the same word in Greek. But if it's Satan is the subject, then it's a temptation. When it's God the subject, it is a test. God doesn't tempt us. God tests us. So the context will determine whether it is a temptation or a test. Last week, we looked at worrying. The term worrying has a positive and a negative connotation. Positively, it can mean to be concerned about the future, to be concerned about the things of God, to be concerned about a brother and a sister. That's a good thing. On the other hand, it could be worrying without taking action. Worrying for nothing. Worrying, forgetting that God is in control of the future. And Paul would say, do not worry about anything, but with prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, make your request known to God, and the peace of God that surpasses all human understanding will guard your hearts and mind in Christ Jesus. This morning we're looking at this judging and this judging. Different ways to judge. Jesus is not teaching that believers are not to judge at all. Let's get out of the way, and I will emphasize that again later on in the sermon. Jesus is not teaching that we are not to judge at all. And how do we know that? Well, Jesus just called people hypocrites in the text. You hypocrites. That's a judgment. In Matthew chapter 7, verse 6, you need to judge someone to determine whether the person is a dog or a pig. I mean, you need discernment. Now, we don't call people dogs or pigs, but he says, don't throw your pearls to dogs. Don't throw your pearls to pigs. How do you know that you shouldn't throw your pearls to a dog or a pig if you have no discernment as to what a dog is or what a pig is? You have to have discernment for those things. In Matthew 7, again, verse 15 to 20, Jesus speaks about true prophets and false prophets. Well, how do I recognize a true prophet and a false prophet if I don't make a judgment call? In Luke chapter 12, verse 57, Jesus says, why do you not judge for yourself what is right? In 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 15, Paul could say, the spiritual man judges everything. So there is judging and judging. The term translated, the verb translated judge, depending on the context, can be nuanced differently. It can mean to evaluate something. You can give your opinion on a situation. For example, in Luke chapter 7, verse 43, in the context of Christ was giving a parable to Peter and says, who do you think is going to love more? The person who has been forgiven more or less? And Peter said, well, the person who has been forgiven more will love more. And Christ responds to Peter, you have judged correctly. Your assessment is right, Peter. The term judging or judgment can be in the context of the courtroom, where you take someone to the magistrate, the local magistrate, to decide on a case. It could mean the pronouncement of guilt. You declare someone guilty or innocent. And in an ultimate sense, it can also determine whether someone goes to heaven or whether someone goes to hell. It could be a judgment on someone's eternal destiny. So there is different types of judgment. There is a good judgment and there is bad judgment. So what we're going to do this morning is we're going to look at what is good judgment. Well, we'll start with the bad because he says, do not judge. He starts with the negative. So we'll look at the negative aspects of judgment or a negative way of judging, and then we'll look at what it means to, how we can truly judge someone. So first of all, Christ says, do not judge. Luke chapter 6 verse 37 has a parallel passage, and Luke adds, do not condemn or you will also be condemned. It is one thing to say that someone's action is wrong. It is another to determine whether they should be punished or not. It is another to determine whether they're going to hell or not. It is one thing to say that someone's remark or words are inappropriate. It is another to determine, for example, and you might know what I'm talking about, that the person is racist or intolerant. Do not judge. Do not condemn people. We should be very careful how we determine people's action, how we comment on people's action. Do not condemn, or you will be condemned. Do not judge as if you were the lawgiver. We shouldn't judge as if we were the lawgivers and decide what is right or wrong. Not condemn people because they're not on our side. For example, in Luke chapter 9, verse 49, John was talking to Jesus and he says, Master, we saw someone casting out demons in your name and we tried to stop him because he does not follow us. And Jesus said, do not stop him, for the one who is not against us is for us. Don't judge someone because he's not with you. He is not on your side. Do not judge, do not condemn, do not decide who goes to heaven or who does not. Sometimes we can spend our lives commenting on everybody and everything that they do. We should not presume that we know everything that happens in a person's heart. We should not presume to know why people do what they do. We should not presume, for example, when you come in church, someone is worshiping with their hands up. Not presume that you know why they're doing that. Someone is worshiping quietly without their hands up. You should not presume that they're not worshiping God. You should not presume that you know why people make choices in life. We should not presume that we know, you know, someone is wealthy, then that person must be a big sinner. Or someone is poor, that means they're not following God. We're not to make those judgment calls without proper examination. We should not presume without examination. Do not condemn. Do not judge. Number two, he says, do not judge with the wrong measure. That is your standard of judgment. The standard you use for people, God will use against you. What are some wrong standards that we can use when we judge people? Well, we can judge people on appearance. That's a wrong measure to judge people. Don't judge people on appearance or mere opinion. John chapter 7, verse 24. Do not judge by appearance, but judge with right judgment. Let's turn with me to James chapter 2. Chapter 2, verse 1 to 8. James chapter 2, we start from verse 2. James chapter 2, verse 2. It says, suppose a man comes and into your meeting wearing a gold ring and fine clothes, and a poor man in a filthy old cloth also comes in. If you show special attention to the man wearing fine clothes and say, here's a good seat for you, but say to the poor man, you stand there, or sit on the floor by my feet. Have you not discriminated among yourself and become judges with evil thoughts? Listen, my dear brothers and sisters, has not God chosen those who are poor in the eyes of the world to be rich in faith and to inherit the kingdom of God he promised those who love him? But you have dishonored the poor. Is it not the rich who are exploiting you? Are they not the ones who are dragging you into court? Are they not the ones who are blaspheming the noble name of him to whom you belong? If you really keep the royal law found in the scripture, love your neighbor as yourself, you are doing right. But if you show favoritism, you sin and are convicted by the law as a lawbreaker. Do not judge on appearance. You remember in the Old Testament, Hannah went to the temple and she was praying, and Samuel saw her and Samuel determined that she was drunk. And she said, I'm not drunk. I'm just pouring my heart to God. You remember, again, when Christ was eating at Matthew's house, one of the women came and anointed his feet, and someone said, if he knew that kind of woman, he would never accept such things from her. And Christ says, no, she's doing a beautiful thing. You don't know her heart. You should not judge on mere appearance or opinion. We shouldn't judge hastily. 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 5. Do not pronounce judgment before time. I'll come back on that verse later on. Do not pronounce judgment before time. Do not judge without proper investigation. In John chapter 7, verse 51. Does our law judge a man without first giving him a hearing and learning what he does? That's what Nicodemus said to the Pharisees who wanted to condemn Christ. He says, that's not how our law suggests. Our law says, no, you have to, before you condemn a man, before you say he's guilty, you must first give him a hearing and learn what he does. We need to remember that our judgment is always limited. Our best judgment is always limited because we don't know people's heart. How many times has someone assumed they know you or they know about you and they were completely wrong? And you said, you have no idea how wrong you are about me. But that's the same thing can apply to us. If we apply that, we say, you know nothing about me, how could we presume to know everything about the other person? Do not judge, do not use wrong measure to judge other people. Do not condemn. Do not use wrong measure. And then thirdly, Christ says, do not judge in hypocrisy. I think that's the worst. Do not judge in hypocrisy. Why do you see the speck in your brother's eye, but do not notice the log in your own eyes? This is not a question that requires an answer. This is a question where Christ is really saying, don't do that. Don't judge people and condemn them and accuse them before judging yourself. I think driving on the 401, we do that all the time, don't we? Or driving in general. We are the worst judging people when we drive. Everybody's speeding except us. Everybody's a bad driver except us. We look at people and they cut us off, and we determine that they're doing something really evil, and we make sure we go past them. You know, we have to give them the look, you know. Anyone's a driver? Anybody who does something really crazy on the road, you gotta, except it's a Lamborghini, you won't meet them. But if they're not driving very fast, you gotta get to their level, and then you gotta turn and look at them. And usually they don't look at you. Right? They don't, because, right? And you go like, yeah, you're not looking at me. Yeah? You know why you're not looking at me. Yeah? I'm gonna take a picture of you right here while I'm driving, right? Because you're a bad driver. But I have my cell phone in my hand, and I'm, you know, the same. They're not looking at you for the same reason that you're not looking at them when you make a mistake. We make mistakes all the time, but we condemn all other drivers as being bad drivers, isn't it? We judge. We don't look at the speck of dust in our own eye. We look at the one in others' eye. We say, you are bad, you're a bad driver. And we have no idea. Sometimes we presume why people are doing things. We presume why this guy is driving this way. He's a bad driver. He's an evil person. He wants to cut me off because somehow he wants, you know, he just wants to kill me or something, you know. Perhaps the guy is late for work, or maybe has an emergency. He's trying to get to the nearest gas station because it's happened to me. If it happens to me, it happens to them. We need to judge with the right kind of judgment. The story that comes to mind is the story of the Pharisee and the publican in Luke chapter 18. The Pharisee comes in the temple to pray, and he has nothing, no self-examination. He comes before God and says, God, I am thankful that I'm not like other people. And I'm thankful that I'm not like this man. He doesn't know the guy. But he assumes that he knows the guy. And this week, one of the students we're talking about that text, and one of the students says, and some of us will say, Lord, I'm thankful I'm not like this Pharisee. And it ends up being the same. We judge other people. We need to be careful that we don't judge in hypocrisy. Listen to what Romans chapter 2, verse 1 to 4 says. You therefore have no excuse, you who pass judgment on someone else. For at whatever point you judge another, you are condemning yourself, because you who pass judgment do the same thing. Christ is, Paul is referring to the Jews who, and even the time of Jesus, the Pharisees, who thought, man, we have the law of Moses, we have the truth with us, and the Jews are the children of God, and everybody else is a sinner. And Christ and Paul are saying, wait a minute, the law was never given to justify you. The law was given to show you that you are a sinner. It's interesting to hear the Pharisees call other people sinners, as if they were not sinners. It's interesting to hear us talk about other people as sinners, as if we are not sinners. We are sinners, and so are everyone else. Maybe there's a difference between us and the world, that the only difference is we're sinners saved by grace. Nevertheless, we are sinners. And so we'll be very careful how we look at other people. And we shouldn't just judge others, particularly when we're doing worse things than them. It's a commentator who said, judgment that is uninformed, impulsive, superficial, premature, or biased is strictly forbidden in the Bible. Judgment that is uninformed, impulsive, superficial, premature, or biased is strictly forbidden in the Bible. The number four, do not judge without mercy and love. Do not judge without mercy and love. Matthew 5, 7, blessed are the merciful, for they will obtain mercy. Matthew 6, 12, forgive our debt, as we forgive our debtors. Often when we judge ourselves, we're lenient, aren't we? When we come before God, we come into God in prayer, we cry out to Him, Lord, you know my heart, you know I'm trying hard, give me one more chance. That sin is hard to overcome. You know, my childhood, you know, the habit is hard to break. This virtue is hard to take on, Lord. You know I'm trying, but I fall all the time. You know, God, please forgive me. Have mercy on me, oh God, and so on and so forth. And then we think of others. We have no mercy for them. We don't want God to be patient with them. We don't want God to have mercy on them. And yet he says, when we judge others, even if you recognize that there is a sin, even if you recognize that the person is weak, we must do that with mercy and love. We need to learn to treat others in the sight of God as we would like them to treat us, as we want God to treat us in his sight. We need to learn to judge with mercy and love. So that's wrong judgment. It's a wrong type of judgment. It comes from condemning. It comes from using wrong measures. It comes from being excessive that is not preceded by examination, self-examination, and a judgment that comes without mercy and love. And then there is right judgment, a right way to judge. Jesus wants to avoid two extremes in his teaching. The first extreme he wants to avoid is those of us who spend our life judging and condemning other people. We evaluate other people's lives, their choice, their behavior. And generally, we have nothing good to say about anyone. Everyone is going to hell except those who agree with me. And those who come to my church. And so on. And Christ is saying, be careful, do not judge. Because the same standard will apply to you. But then there are those, on the other hand, who do not judge at all. And you hear them say things like, who am I to judge? I'm just taking care of the plank in my own eye. What other people do? They're fine. I'm not going to judge them. But that is equally dangerous. To judge excessively and not judge are equally dangerous, and Christ wants to avoid us those pitfalls. There is right and wrong in this world. The Bible speaks of the righteous and the wicked. There are specks and there are logs. There are pigs and dogs and sheep and lamb. There are false prophets. There are situations in which we have the duty to judge. Listen to what Paul says in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 1. When one of you has a grievance against another, does he dare go to the law before the unrighteous instead of the saints? Or do you not know that the saints will judge the world? And if the world is to be judged by you, are you incompetent to try trivial cases? Do you not know that we are to judge angels? Even more than matters pertaining to this life. We are to judge matters pertaining to this life. But there's a right way of doing it. There's a writer who says we are permitted and even obligated to assess human claims upon truth, beauty, or goodness, and to appraise the character, the conduct, and teaching both of others. Let me repeat that. We are permitted and even obliged to assess human claims upon truth, beauty, or goodness, and to appraise the character, conduct, and teaching of others. But the important word in that quote is assess. We're entering the Christmas season, and I was reading Isaiah 11, which is one of the passages that we'll read as part of our scripture reading for December. And Isaiah chapter 11 speaks of the coming of Jesus Christ, the shoot from the stump of Jesse. And in verse 3 of Isaiah 11, he shall not judge by what he sees or decide dispute by what his ears hear. But with righteousness, he shall judge the poor and decide with equity for the meek of the earth. With righteousness, he shall judge the poor and decide with equity for the meek of the earth. We have to judge with the right standards or the right measure. We have to judge with righteousness and equity. We have to judge based on the truth. We have to judge with discernment. You remember Solomon? We had to place a judgment between those two women. This one was saying, "It's my daughter." This one saying, "That's my daughter." And they were fighting for that baby. And Solomon uses discernment to determine who was a true mother. We need to ask God to give us discernment when we decide matters about others. Matthew chapter 7:15-19 says that we need to judge people based on their fruit. There are fruits that are worthy of salvation. There are fruits that a Christian should bear. And if you see a brother or sister who's not bearing those fruits, you should say, brother, sister, are you not bearing fruit in keeping with repentance? Now, I don't know why. You see, you don't just judge them, right? Can I pray for you? Is there a way I can help you? And you don't say, I think you're going to hell. I think you're not a Christian. No, you try to rescue them if you think there's rescuing to be done. You approach them, and you measure what they do by their fruit. We are to judge with humility because we are no better. We are to judge with mercy and love. Remember the unmerciful servant? He wanted mercy. When he obtained mercy, he went to the other servant and condemned him, put him in prison. We have to judge with the right standard. We need to also examine ourselves and repent before we judge others. I think that's the key to this passage. Make sure we examine ourselves and repent before we start judging others. First, take the log of your own eye, then you will see clearly. We cannot see clearly if we don't judge ourselves first. If we don't examine ourselves. You see someone sinning, the first thing you would say, well, Lord, I have my own faults as well. I have sin in my life. I'm going to deal with those, and then I can help my brother or I can help my sister. And if you know what, if I do that, and you do that, and everybody else does that, well, we don't judge each other. Right? Because I've already examined myself. I saw the big log. I remove it. By the time I get to you, oh, he's already removed the plank because he's examined himself too. Or she's done the same thing. So if we examine ourselves, the Bible says, we will not be judged. And that's the first thing starts. Look at yourself. Examine yourself. We should spend more time judging ourselves than judging others. Spend more time looking at your sins and your faults and your disobedience and your shortcomings. And when you do that, yes, you will see the sins and disobedience and shortcoming of others. But the way you will judge them will be different. You will judge them with mercy and love. You'll say, man, God, man, we are just so weak. I'm so weak. Maybe my sin is greed, and that brother or sister's sin is pride, but it's still sin. I struggle, he or she struggle. We are both struggling, Lord. Have mercy on us. And give me an opportunity, Father, that perhaps I can pray for that person. Perhaps I can talk to that person. Judge yourself first before you judge others. And then judge also in light of the gospel. John 3:17 says, for God did not send his son to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him. As I said earlier, at the end of the day, we are all sinners, we are all guilty, we all stand condemned, we all deserve to go to hell. But God, in his great mercy, when we look to Christ, he declares us free. He does not declare us guilty. We are guilty, but he says, I've died for your sins. And they can go through. Remember that Christ himself was perfect. And what did they do? They judged him and condemned him and crucified him without any reason. He lived a perfect life. And yet, they judge him wrongly. Let us judge in light of the gospel. We look at each other. Yes, we are all sinners here this morning. But when we look at each other in the light of the gospel, we should be thankful. And say, God, I know this brother, this sister is probably not walking with you, like I'm not walking with you perfectly, but man, we are saved, and Christ has died for us, and we are in him, and one day we'll not have this sin in our lives anymore. You see, when the gospel comes in, that's what God does. If God had to look at us from the law, with the law, we'd all be condemned to hell. But how does God look at you? Through his son. He looks at you and me through Christ. Because if he had to look through the law, well, if you're going to be judging people according to the law, sinners, liars, adulterers, and so on. If we're going to look at people through that lens, well, I'm going to look at you through that lens. And all have sinned, the Bible says, and fall short of the glory of God. When God looks at us, he looks at us in mercy and looks at us through his Son. So when we're judging people, we should always think of the gospel. Not only that we are saved, but they can be saved as well. The same way that we were guilty and God forgave us, God can forgive them too. So when you look at someone who's not a Christian, who's not saved, don't send them to hell. The person is still alive. The person is still alive. And as long as there is life, that person can turn to Christ. And as long as that person can turn to Christ, I will not judge the person's eternal destiny, because it's beyond my pay grade actually. None of us should determine who goes to heaven, who goes to hell. We want people to receive the gospel. I want to end with one verse from 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 5, which I mentioned earlier. It says, "Do not pronounce judgment before the time, before the Lord comes, who will bring to light the things now hidden in darkness and will disclose the purposes of the heart. Then each one will receive his commendation from God." What Christ is trying to teach in this passage is that ultimate judgment, true judgment, only belongs to God. God is the judge of all the earth. Our judgments are imperfect. And they will not be the standard by which God will judge the world. God will judge the world ultimately by his own standard. He is the judge of all the earth. And he is the only one that can provide true judgment. Why? Because he sees the heart. I can give my opinion on you. I can give my opinion on how you're walking with the Lord. I could be right or I can be wrong. I can give my opinion about whether someone is speeding, if he's a bad driver or a good driver. I could be right or I could be wrong. But only God, who knows the heart, truly knows what the bad drivers on the 401. All of us. Only God truly knows who's walking with him and who's not. Only God truly knows who belongs to him and who belongs and who are not. Or who do not. It's only God at the end of the day who will bring everyone before his judgment seat. And each of us will have to give an account for what we did in the flesh, whether good or bad. And my prayer for all of us is that when we stand before the judgment seat of God, he will not say, "Well, you spend your life judging people with this standard. You weren't merciful, you weren't caring, you weren't loving, you condemn everybody. Everybody was wrong and you were right. You had no grace, nothing. I'm gonna judge you by that standard." No, we want God to come and say, "You will judge in humility. You look to Christ, you judge in mercy." That's what we want God to do. The measure that we measure others will be measured unto us. Yes, you are a sinner, but you treated people as you would like to be treated. That is the golden rule, right? We say, treat others as we would like to be. Judge others as we would like to be judged. I confess this is one of the hardest things for us to do, isn't it? I don't know. We just have opinion on everything. I catch myself doing that. Thinking of other people in wrong way. Thinking that I know what's in their heart. Thinking I know their motivation, thinking I know who deserves to be disciplined and who deserves to go free. There's so much in our hearts that we need to change, brothers and sisters. And we need to pray for each other. Because I think this is not a text where we can say, we can point fingers, right? Because we start judging. As soon as you start pointing fingers, you realize you're doing exactly what the text is telling you not to do. So this morning, this is a message that we point to ourselves. Pastor Jerome, do not judge. Or you will be judged. The measure by which you measure others will be measured unto you. Pastor Jerome, why do you look at the plank in another person's eye, or the speck in another person's eye, and ignore the plank in your own eyes? No, first, hypocrite, remove the speck from your own eyes, the plank from your eyes. Then you will see clearly and you might be able to help a brother. We are called to help each other. We are called to exercise judgment on each other and help each other grow. But we're not lawgivers. We're not Judge Judy. God is the judge. God is the judge. Amen. I call on Crispin who will lead us in one more song.